You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 43. And if you've ever wondered the fastest way to increase sales and get more buyers, you're going to love today's episode. We're going to get into how to rapidly increase sales through joint ventures and affiliate partners. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm your host, Melanie Benson. And if you've listened to me for a while or you've followed my work and now you've caught up with the podcast and you're ready to take things to a whole new level, then let's talk. Right now, I'm accepting applications from successful thought leaders, business experts, innovators, change makers, and visionary entrepreneurs who want to make a greater impact and become more profitable as an industry leader. So if you have a bold vision that's bigger than your current level of success, or you simply want to make your business soar to new heights while you create new levels of abundance without all the overwhelm, then you're going to love what comes next. Now, my time is extremely limited. I've had a full load of clients, but I want to open up 3, maybe 4 spots of platinum leader clients who are all in and really want to have more inspiration, more influence. They want to become more profitable, and they're looking for a way to take things to the next level without so much exhaustion and overwhelm. And if you're ready to accomplish more of the dream business that you have been thinking about and wishing for, then I'm going to be really, really inspired to meet with you. Now, here's how to start the process. Start by taking my Influential Profits quiz at influentialprofits.com. That will also be posted in the show notes. This is a quiz that's designed to help you, first of all, identify any growth bottlenecks that you're facing. Second of all, to look at areas that you could improve quickly so that you can move the needle fast in your influence and your profitability. And no matter if we want to meet or not, just taking the quiz can help illuminate so many focus areas and really tell you what the health of your business is. But if you want to meet with me to talk about being one of those platinum leadership clients, this is the best place to start. So take the Influential Profits quiz today at influentialprofits.com. Now let's dig into the episode. Imagine having someone open a door to a plethora of perfect clients for you. And you literally just show up and you do your magic. That's what affiliate marketing and joint venturing is like. It's the opportunity to partner with someone who's already built up a strong community of people who need and want what you sell. And the magic of joint venturing is that this is a relationship that you nurture because you both serve similar clients who have complementary needs from you. I love partnering. I love collaboration. I love supporting people that I believe in and I appreciate what they offer because it's not what I do. It's not my magic. And interestingly enough, my first, probably about $500,000 in revenue that came in my business early on in my career was just 85% from joint ventures, people who really saw that what I did complemented what they did and opened the door to their community. Now, I'm really hot on this topic right now because I spent some time with a group of peers and friends that I hadn't seen in years at the Joint Venture Experience. This is something that's hosted by Rich German. And they have made it their business to help people really become great joint venture partners, which I really appreciate because not all people are really up for this type of marketing. And I'll tell you some reasons why in a minute. There's some do's and some don'ts. And I want to help you get prepared for this. But first of all, let's just create some possibility. If you've never done this kind of marketing, this is something that truly you can actually get great sales, build your list, and open up a lot of doors that could take you years and years and years and a lot of money, thousands of dollars to build on your own. Which is partially why this do and don't list is important, because there's some real respect that you need to have for the relationship. Because it's basically like you're being invited to someone's home and given a very prestigious level of trust and in someone inviting you to basically market with them to their list. So we want to really honor those relationships. And, you know, not everybody's ready for that because you don't have all the pieces and parts together. And this is what I love about what they do at JBX. So I happen to have been invited to come to that event to be on what they call their Shark Attack panel, which is a place where the audience members get to pitch their joint venture idea to us. There was about 11 of us. There's Suzanne Evans and Anne Rabansky and Christian Michelson and Charlotte Jacobs and a lot of people who are in similar fields as I do. And the one thing that I took away was how valuable it is to really be ready. And, you know, it's funny, like, I'm glad I was ignorant to this in the beginning. And I think maybe the markets got a lot more sophisticated over the years because, you know, 12, 13 years ago, we didn't really track EPCs and all the things that they're looking for these days. It was literally like, do you like what I do? Does it complement your offer? And will I solve a problem that your audience has right now? That was really the name of the game. And I think that still exists to some degree. You know, not everybody's going to be doing these big official joint venture deals the way the market is leaning these days. But a great distinction is to know who's a cross-referral partner versus who's a strategic joint venture partner who you really need to have your I's dotted and your T's crossed for. So let's talk a little bit more about that distinction before I get into the do's and don'ts. So I think every business, no matter how sophisticated they are, what they offer, has the potential to have what we would might maybe consider more casual strategic partners. These are people who are not in it to make money per se off the lead, but there's more of a relationship there. There's there's just a desire to create value for the community. So, for instance, Bob Berg, a friend of mine, one of the people behind the Go Giver work, he doesn't do affiliate relationships. He doesn't want to be paid for that. My friend Jim Palmer is the same way. It's not about being paid for the referral. It's simply, I want to offer something I believe in to my community. And they're very selective about who they promote. But they, when they do promote something, when they do share it, it's not about making money from it. It's simply about the value. Now, on this level, sometimes this is a great place to kind of get your feet wet and find somebody who maybe their list isn't super big or it's not about driving affiliate revenues. It's simply a more casual relationship. You promote something for me, I'll promote something for you. Sometimes there's something called list swapping where you have similar size lists and, you know, hey, you promote something to mine, I'll promote something to you. And it's more about how many clicks and opt-ins you can create for each other. Okay, so that's a more casual level. And then the joint venture side of it is a little bit more sophisticated. And there's two levels. There's more of an affiliate relationship, which I think we see in a lot of the products that are out these days, a lot of software. So it's basically, I give you a link and you post my link out there in the world. And every time somebody buys our product from you, you get a referral commission. And it's not really about the relationship. It's just, I like that product. I'm going to refer the product anyway. I can make a little tiny money when I do. Then let's talk about joint ventures. So joint ventures, the way the term is being used these days, is simply we are going to create a strategic relationship and we share a common audience and we do complementary things and I'm going to promote your stuff to mine and I'm hoping you will promote my stuff to your list or your community. And there's several ways to do it. You know, you can speak at each other's events. You can interview each other for each other's communities. Maybe you have a membership community or you do calls or webinars to your list. And it can simply be you're emailing to each other's communities about something your partner offers. Now, this is where it gets a little more official. I've never been the person that tracks EPCs and really cared about conversions. But after sitting through this last JBX, I started to see why. I started to see how important it was. And that a lot of the people with bigger communities, with highly big names and the big influencers in their space, if they're going to carve out a little space to promote you and their list is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars every time they email something, they need to know that what you're doing can deliver. So this is where a more official piece of the puzzle has to come in. And I highly recommend you check out JVX or you get someone on your team that can do this tracking, because this is what becomes the deal breaker is, do you know how well your offers convert? Meaning, when you send out an email to your list and when you have a cold list, meaning it's not your list, it's someone else's list, how many people click through that email link and opt into your offer? Okay, so that means somebody is getting onto your list for a free gift. This is a huge conversation point for most of the big joint ventures, and they're looking for that information. So as we get into the do's and don'ts, I started to realize this was a huge do, and it wasn't one I was putting a lot of attention on. And quite frankly, I was kind of not really up for that. And coming out of that conversation, I realized there was a lot of opportunity in that room. Some of these people are making hundreds of thousands of dollars in these long-term relationships simply because they do a great job of perfecting their offer, perfecting their sales mechanism, and partnering with other people who they refer them all the time. So there's trust and rapport there. So that leads me to my first do, build relationships. And build relationships first. See, here's something that I don't think everybody understands. Most of the big deals that get put together, there's some kind of a relationship there where there's already trust and there's already rapport. And what kind of happens is when you don't have that trust and rapport and you're reaching out to somebody because you think they have a big list or they could be a good partner for you and you're trying to get them to promote and they don't already have that connection with you, it's really easy to say no because they don't know you. They don't have a relationship. They don't know your work and you haven't really proven things out yet with them. So people are a million times more likely to promote programs of people they know, they like, they trust, and they know have a proven track record than they are someone they don't know. And so don't wait until you're going to do a launch or you want to start building a joint venture relationship with people to build the relationship. It takes time. Sometimes you've got to get in their mastermind groups. You need to be active on their radar, promote their stuff on social media. Give something first before you have an expectation that they're going to promote for you. So building those relationships first is a great way to basically put the foundation in place. And if you do have those relationships, just a little thing to think about. Don't just be one of those people that only calls when you want them to promote. I have people that'll Facebook message me and say, "Hey, what are you doing? Like, we haven't talked in a while. I'd love to hear what's up for you. I've got some stuff I want to share with you." That's code for, "I want you to promote my stuff." And I know when people only want to nurture the relationship when they want to promote, it's kind of a turnoff. Don't usually respond. So build those relationships, nurture those relationships, and build respect and treat those relationships with real strong values and content and nurture them. All right, let's go to the second one. Not every friend or colleague is a potential joint venture partner, even if they want to promote you. So this is a personal call, but I am a strong believer in building those relationships with common ground audiences. Listen, if they're going to promote for me, I love it. But if I know that their audience isn't really a good fit, I don't want to deal with the refund requests and the not good fit in my programs, and they're not getting great value because it's not really right for them. Reserve those partnerships for people that you have a really good common audience, meaning it's the target audience you would build for yourself. It's just someone else has built it because they have a complimentary offer. Okay, so it's a personal preference. And if you've got a more generic offer or something that works for the mass society, this could be a little bit different. But when you're really niched in your offers, pay attention to the common ground. Third, make it easy. Listen, people who are great joint venture partners are busy people. They've got a million things coming at them. They've got people asking them to promote all the time. They've got their own programs that they're promoting. And trust me, even if you reach out early and you say, "Hey, can you promote for me during this time?" Not everybody's super organized, so they might forget. It's your job to communicate, to be clear, to keep them in the loop, to make sure that you've made promoting your stuff easy. Listen, these people are busy. I'm busy. You're busy. But I need you to give me good content that makes it easy to promote you. A lot of people miss this step and they're wondering why they're not getting the support. Whether you're doing a casual relationship or something more official, take the time to put good content together that someone can customize and make it in their own voice and give it to their list. Provide them graphics, give them trackable links, make it easy. Be the one that takes responsibility to communicate well and often what's happening. Okay, so these are three do's. And the fourth do, which is new to my list, is know your numbers. Okay, so that means you're going to have to figure out how to do some tracking, especially if you're going for the bigger fish, the people who do this for a living and are really savvy. They're not going to touch you, even if they like you, if you don't know how well your offer converts. Is that frustrating? Yeah, trust me. I'm kind of feeling that one myself because it's not necessarily been where we've gotten strong. We've had so many people over the years who just promote what I do because they love it and it fills a need. We haven't always tracked things well, but that doesn't mean you can't start now, because that's what we're doing. So take the time to track with Google Analytics and your email program, whatever you're using. If you're using Infusionsoft or Entreport, this should be super easy. How many people open it? How many people click through the link? And how many of those people are opting in to the free offer, to the what we call the lead magnet, the first step? Okay, how many people get to your webinar or whatever sales mechanism you use, if it's private sessions or a webinar or some other thing you do that you make your offer from, how many people go to that step and then buy? That's going to get you your numbers. I know I'm simplifying it. Trust me, I don't even know how it all works. My team does this for me. If you don't have a team, buy some software. There's great software out there like I think it's Cyfe, C-Y-F-E. There's some other ones that are really expensive. There's a lot of stuff out there that you can check out. I will put some links to some software in the show notes at melaniebenson.com/blog to help you also track down those resources if you need them. But know your numbers before you go to those big names. And you're looking for conversion numbers around, you want to be able to do about 60% opting in, and you're looking for at least 30% buy from your sales mechanism. If you're not at least 30% from what we call cold traffic, meaning these are not people that have been following you for a long time, then it's probably not going to be worth their salt. Now, let's get into some of the don't do's. Okay. Number one on the don't do list is don't cheap out on your commission. So let me break this down for a minute. If you are just a affiliate partner with someone, this is more like you might get 10%. Okay, so that's one thing. This is not a long-term relationship. This is, I like that product and I'm going to refer it anyway, and I'm just going to put a link on my site so that anytime somebody buys that product off my website, I get a very small commission. That's not what we're talking about here. I'm talking about when you're building a relationship with these big marketers and you want them to promote your stuff. Normally, it's 40 to 50%. Okay, that is a average revenue for products and programs. That's not a service where you're giving all your coaching. However, that's what you're asking them to partner with you on. They're going to be expecting those kind of numbers to make it worth their while. Remember, you are basically buying time from their promotional calendar to their list, which is valuable to them. So don't cheap out. Be willing to pay revenue in the 40 to 50% for the, basically you're buying a lead from them. That's really the essence of what it is. So let me say one more thing about that. Part of the reason why is you're going to be getting people on your list that don't buy at that time from this partner. So you're doing two things with that revenue. One, you are basically giving them money back for that lead, but you're also paying them for all the leads that are getting on your list that won't buy now, and they won't buy for years, but they will buy at some point. And you probably at that point will not be tracking. It'll be something else. It won't really show up in the system. And so that lead kind of escapes the sales cycle, and down the road, you're getting that sale. So that's really what the 40 to 50% incorporates. Now, let's talk about the second don't do. And that is don't not pay and don't not pay on time. I know that's a double negative, but not paying on time is like a serious no-no. As a partner, you can kill a relationship by not paying out properly. So it's up to you to be organized. It's up to you to put that revenue aside in a little reserve account so that when it's time to pay them, you pay them on time. Okay? Have someone on your team, create a tickler file, whatever you need to do, but make sure you pay on time. And be really, really good at communicating your payout cycle with your partner so they know. Typically, it's a 30-day turnaround, but if you've got a longer refund rate and you hold that payment, just clarify up front. So pay and pay on time, okay? One little thing is people talk, and if you become a bad JV partner, doesn't mean you're going to stop being friends, but people talk, and people know when you mess up, and you mess up bad, and you don't make it right, okay? So third one, missing deadlines. Now, this goes back to what we talked about earlier, and that is making it easy. Well, when you miss your deadlines, you're not making it easy. And I know things change, partners know things change, but if you're missing your deadlines and you're not giving them what they need so they can put their best foot forward, you're gonna lose them as a promotional partner. Maybe not just for this time, but if you constantly miss deadlines, you're gonna become a hassle. And you know, when you make people jump through hoops and they don't have hoops to give you because they're already maxed out, you're gonna get some resistance and people are gonna be less likely to jump in and be your best referral partner. So get organized, get your stuff done on time, and get your stuff to your people who are promoting you ahead of the game so they can do what they do, which is make the sales copy work really well for their audience. Okay, and then conversely, if you're committing to promote a partner, make sure you're making your deadline. Promote when you say you are. Figure out how you get organized on your end. We actually have a whole calendar when we've committed to promoting somebody. We have it as a task, and then we also have it blocked out in the calendar so we know that's the day we've committed to promoting somebody. So make your deadlines, stay organized. The last one I want to talk about here is communication. So what I think happens is sometimes we forget that this is a relationship that we're nurturing because we kind of get into our little zone of our own desk, our own computer, you know, the phone calls we have scheduled, and we forget there's all this stuff going on around us. And a joint venture partnership, when done well, has the potential to deliver leads and clients for years and years and years. But if one partner starts to feel like things are out of balance and you know, they're doing everything for you and it's not working right, it's really hard, they're going to stop. Honestly, I've stopped promoting a lot of people because they were not delivering well to their clients that I gave them. So now I'm getting this information that they're not doing a good job of delivering, so I can't promote them. Or they're a hassle, they're disorganized, it's not feeling good. They never, you know, reciprocate and it just doesn't feel good. And the other thing is, there's the communication isn't good. So when you have good communication and you can say, hey, look, this is feeling out of balance, or I'm not getting what I need, or, you know, you can tell the person, look, our launch didn't go the way we hoped. I know you really stepped all up and it was out of balance. What can we do to make it up to you? How can we promote for you? Let us fill in the gaps. Look, communication is the best tool. It may not be perfect all the time, but if you communicate well, those win-lose scenarios start to feel like win-win scenarios. And there's always a way to make things feel good for the other party if you're committed. Don't look at this as a short-term relationship. It's not. If you start treating these joint venture partners as a short-term promotion, you will lose in the long term. So those are some of my do's and don'ts. Ultimately, I'm a huge fan of strategic partners. I think that partnering with people is fun, it's powerful, but most importantly, it's a great way to build your list, to get quick sales in the door, and to have a marketing vehicle that pays off over and over and over again when you show up and do the right thing. So thanks for listening in today. I'd love to hear your thoughts. come on over to the show page at melaniebenson.com/blog. The show notes are there. The resources are there. And I'd love to hear your comments on today's episode. Are you using joint venture marketing, or do you want to start using it? Or do you have another twist on it that you'd like to share? And if you liked today's episode and found it full of valuable insights, would you give me a little social media love? I would so appreciate it. You can do it really simple. Just rate us on iTunes as a subscriber or share the episode on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye for now.